You know, Brother Mark, he showed us that side where you're not saved. And you get your life together, and because of Mount Hebron, he's on the right path. I'm going to try. I'm not going to go back to my childhood. My parents kept me in church, and I rebelled ridiculously. And I started my life out very young and drugs and things, but I got saved in 1984, Corpus Christi, Texas. And mostly because my wife, she made sure our children were in church because I didn't want to go. But 1992, I met this Kentucky hillbilly, Matthew, if you're here, in Lamar, Colorado. My life really took off from there for the Lord. And then I let some things get in my way. He come up to me one day in 94, and many of you have heard some of this, and he says, "I think the Lord might want you to preach." He even told my wife, "You'd be a good preacher's wife." And her mom had told her that before too, and her mom is a preacher's wife. And I said, "Nah." Well, everything went fine for a while, but I did one stupid thing. I was growing in the Lord and things were going good, and I let something that happened there get under my skin, and I didn't go talk to somebody about it that I should have. I kept it right here. That's the way I've always done things anyway. And then whenever you keep it long enough and you back you up in the corner, and then I usually come out like some wild crazy mule, and it just messes things up. But then the next stupid thing I did, because I was mad over the other thing, my daughter and my son, my youngest girl, the one that came here, and my son, they were in rodeo, and I was in rodeo, and they had a barrel racing going on Wednesday night, and I made a choice that night against my wife's better judgment to go to rodeo instead of church. And from that point on, it got really easy. Wasn't no big problem. Then it turned into state fair, and, well, that took me up there on Sundays. So then Brother Steve had left, and I got involved in an accident up in the mountains. I went back up into the mountains of Colorado to help my dad out. He'd had a heart attack, and he had a dump truck business, and so I give up my horse training and shoeing, and I went up there. But I got into a dump truck accident, and I'd already been dabbling a little bit in some dexamethasone and DMSO. You can mix that stuff together and rub it. We've used it for horses, but it takes away your pain in your joints and also makes you high. But when I got in this dump truck accident, I got prescribed prescription painkillers. Well, from that point on, it's real easy. I was just talking to somebody a little while ago, and she said, "Yeah, I understand how a person could get to like that." I was taking Mole 7, 10 Vicodin a day, sometimes 10 Ultram a day, whichever one I could get. When that stopped working, I started chasing it with alcohol, and my wife got really angry with me. But I was running from God. which I knew what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to preach. And I fought that and fought that for years. But it really, really, about year 2000, really started working on me real hard. And I just got totally out of church. I said, that's it. And I said, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I drowned it out with music or whatever I possibly could. When it come to my head, I'd be going down the highways out in California and Arizona preaching. And I'd say, what am I doing? So I'd turn on some AC/DC or something and just drown it out and drive all night, you know. And then it got worse and worse. And we moved from the mountain area back over into the eastern plains. And I went to work for the same guy my son-in-law worked for. I started hauling cattle again, and it takes a lot out of you. And then I would go haul hay with him, and boy, what an influence I was on him, because about halftime I didn't go to church, and I'd drink beer with him, and my granddaughter would look at me, and, you know, it's just disgusting where you'll go the further you get into sin. I finally got to the point, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but I got to the point, I ended up down in Mississippi with the oil company I was working for after I quit that job where my son-in-law was at. And all I had on my mind was, I want to please me and I want to do what I want to do. Nothing to do with what God wanted. I'd done decided, you know, God, you ain't going to do nothing to me. I honestly lost all my fear for God because I just... You know, I didn't believe he'd do anything to me. I was saved, so I didn't have a problem. But I got down there, and through a series of some accidents, or maybe I shouldn't say accidents, but through a series of some things that happened all the summer of 06, two surgeries, left me where I couldn't do much. And that was really irritating, because I've always been able to take care of myself and do anything I wanted to do. But that was how God got to me. He said, all right, you ain't afraid of dying, that's fine. He said, but I'll do what you are afraid of. He said, I'll fix you where you're crippled. Well, I was for a while. I mean, I can do things now, but... And he really made me think, and I drew back on one thing in Luke about the rich man. He had all of the barns, and he had his field, and boy, he gathered it all up, and he said, this is my life, and I'm gathering everything. And he said one thing at the end of it. He said, thou fool. He said, you're not laying any treasures up in heaven. And I got to thinking about that late one night. I'm like, you know, I'm saved, but that's as far as it goes. And I wasn't laying any treasures up in heaven. But if you'll turn with me, and I'm going to try to make this real quick here. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I said all of this to get around to this. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You know, people, 24 says we are to consider one another. We are to exhort each other. If you're not in church, how in the world are you going to be exhorting anybody? How are you going to be getting any kind of encouragement? How are you going to be encouraging anyone? You're not going to be. And, you know, I looked at it and I said, oh, I'd miss on a Wednesday night. It's no big deal. It's just Wednesday night. But when you miss that Wednesday night, it makes it real easy to miss Sunday morning. And what you do is you open a door. When you miss that one Sunday for just some stupid reason, and that's all it is. I was talking to my wife earlier today. I said, I don't know but two reasons that you can't be in church. And that's if you're laid up in the hospital because you're that sick, or you're dead. You know, honestly. Now, I'm sure the Lord's going to test me. You know, you're going to say, hey, I got this, thanks to my pastor, I've got the same issues he's got. And believe me, this morning I rolled out of bed after being up most of the night, and I said, I don't know if I want to go to church. But then I said, no, I need to go to church because it encourages me. It gives me strength to live each and every day for Christ. And that's what we're here for, each other. We've got to be here to strengthen each other. But it'll open a door. If you miss one night, one morning, it'll open a door for Satan to attack. As long as we're in here, you know, I won't say Satan can't do anything, get into your mind, make you think. But hey, we're here and we're getting encouragement. We're in God's Word. But when you skip that, you miss something. And then it's easier to miss it because then Satan says, see, it wasn't too bad last time. And then it just gets worse from that point on. And what I did is I got worse and I got worse and then I turned to other things. It's like these addictions, these drug addicts, they turn, they're reaching for something and they don't know what they're reaching for. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to give them something to reach for. But they turn to them things to drown out problems. And it's not just unsaved people. It's Christians. People that teach classes. People that lead singing. They get into problems. I've even heard of preachers getting off into it. And it's, they get off into that. And it's because they open that one door and let Satan in. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, we've been studying that in Sunday school, and I've been studying it for school, and I did a little devotion on it in school, but verses 13 and 14, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, when we become a child of God, we are to stay faithful to God. We are to stay sober-minded, clear thinking, godly thinking. We're to be obedient children. As God says over there in 15 and 16, for I am holy, be ye holy. You know, we're to strive for that. You're not going to be perfect here, but when Christ comes to get us, we will be. Praise the Lord. But that's what we're to strive for. And if we open that one door, if we let our guard down, Satan is there. Because over in 1 Peter 5:8, he says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to jump out here and chase you around. He's going to sneak in. And it's that little voice in there, you know, says, hey, you shouldn't be missing church. But then you put it off. Next time it's easier to put it off. You shouldn't be doing this sin. But if you do it, next time it's easier to put it off. And back over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 really hit home with me. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And I thought real hard on that one. And it's irreparable sins that take place. Over in chapter 12, verse 17 of Hebrews, it says, for ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You don't know how many times I wish I could back up the years that I run from God and the things I've done. There's things, my family don't live here, my children don't. My daughter, because of, I honestly believe this, because of my choice, my youngest girl married an unsaved man. And that's going to plague her until he gets saved. And I pray for him every day. My son married a young lady, and I love her to death, and bless her heart. But they got problem after problem after problem. Because the church she goes to isn't a scriptural church. And they just have nothing but problems. He called up today, talked to his mom for about an hour and a half. Because he just feels bad. This verse rings in my ears constantly. Because it doesn't, there's things you'll do when you get out there and you get in sin. God may forgive you for those sins, but you're still going to reap what you sow. There's things that are not repairable. You know, the scars will always be there. Now Christ gives me the strength to live each day that I live with those things in my head and in my heart. But I do spend many hours praying for my children. And we don't know, you know, whenever we get out of the will of God, there are people watching us. There are young people watching us. There's even older people watching the younger people. And when you step out, they see that you're not here. They see that you're not doing right. And if it's okay for you to do it, then it's okay for them to do it. And we really, God is working in my life in many, many areas. You know, I've got a lot of, and He is working in my life. And I have a desire, truly, especially since I went to this Reformers Unanimous, I have a real desire for them people. But not only for them people, but for myself. And it's like Brother Steve said, it's not just hardcore drugs. It's all sorts of things. It's tobacco, it's overeating, gossip, you know. And ladies, it ain't just ladies that gossip. I used to go down to the truck stop in Lamar, and whatever farmer wasn't there, that's who they talked about. You know? But the Lord really is working on me in a lot of different areas in my life, and I really do ask for your prayers, and especially with what I'm going to be dealing with and the people we're going to deal with. And you know, a lot of them are not going to be, ain't got a clue. And then there's going to be some of them that were just like me. They were off out there and they got off on the wrong foot just basically because of stupidity, because they knew better. And it took them the wrong way, and it took them a lot further than what they wanted to go. But as I said, God forgives, but the scars are still there. And I know that's probably in many of you guys' lives. There's a lot of things you wish you could take back, but you can't. But God will forgive you for them, and with Christ's strength, you can endure, because that's what He's there for. There's one thing that's kind of weighing on my mind. Last Sunday night was an excellent service. That's another area God's working on my life. I tend to, something pops in my head and I throw my mouth in, engaging the brain or however, and things fly. And I've asked the Lord to help me with my just blurting things out. But I'll go ahead and say this. And I was going to move last Sunday, and I don't know what reasons I didn't. I guess just maybe stubborn. I've been here for quite some time, and I love each and every person. And there's no way that I would ever do anything to anybody in this building to hurt them in any way, form, or fashion. I would never have said anything about anybody. But sometimes I pop my mouth open before I thought about it, and it's like, whoops, I shouldn't have said that. Or I shouldn't have done that. So I would ask for your forgiveness for that, and to pray for me, because I tend to put things in gear before engaging everything else. That's something we got to watch. Our tongues are very dangerous. Thank you.